I'm going to begin a mini-series today that I have entitled, Open the Windows. Now, I almost entitled this, Would Somebody Please Open the Windows? How many of you know we're living in shaky times when it comes to economies and world events? How many of you are aware of that? And in light of all that's going on in our nation, in our world, and particularly financially or in the economy, with the markets going up and down, have any of you heard about that of late? I have from some of my concerned friends. What's going to happen? Well, I don't know for sure what's going to happen in the markets. I know what's going to happen in God's market. And I've got some good news for you today. Now, I know there's a lot of insecurity and there's a lot of fear that's trying to grasp people's hearts, but the whole purpose of this mini-series is to position us so that we can see the windows of heaven open over our lives. Now, don't tune me out today. I'm going to talk about money today. I'm going to talk about giving money. I'm going to talk about giving of yourself today. And I want to tell you this. I've been preaching long enough now, and I've been in the kingdom business long enough. You know, every now and then I ask myself, do people believe really that preachers preach what they preach because they've got some ulterior motive? Folks, let me tell you, I have one motive this morning. I have one motive today in what I'm sharing. I truly believe that there are windows in heaven that can be opened if we do what God says, and we can see the blessing of God, and we can be secure in insecure times. Amen? Amen. I believe it. I don't preach things that I don't believe. There's a verse of Scripture that I want to read to you in the Bible. It's in the Old Testament. It's found in Malachi chapter 3, and it's verse 10. And I'm going to be using some of the New Living Translation today. I just love the way it reads. But it reads this way in Malachi chapter 3, verse 10. It says, "Bring all the tithes into the storehouse so there will be enough food in my temple." Here's what God says. "If you do, says the Lord of the heaven's armies, I will open the windows of heaven for you." How many of you noticed the word windows there? Plural. It's not just one window. There are multiple windows that I believe can be opened as we obey God. And here's the promise. He says, "I will pour you out a blessing so great that you won't have room to take it in." Now here's what God says. And maybe I'll come back to this point at the end of this message today. He says, "Try it." He says, this is the only time in Scripture where God says, "Try it." And then He says, "Put me to the test." Nowhere else in Scripture will you find where God says, "Try me" or "Put me to the test." In fact, the Bible says, don't test the Lord by going and doing your own thing and defying God. This is the one time in Scripture God says, "Put me to the test." I'm just going to tell you from personal experience, folks, I have tried the Lord in this area, and I have put it to the test. I have made it a lifestyle, and thus far, I have known some great, great blessings in my life, and I believe that will continue on as I obey the Lord. Try it. Now, when He says try it, and this is not the heart of my sermon right now, He's not saying, well, one week, I'm just going to try giving a little money to, Blue Cross or Red Cross or whatever. That's an insurance company in at the Blue Cross. Red Cross, I'm going to give a little blood, or I'm going to drop a little money in the plate and see what happens. He's talking about making it a lifestyle. And I'll tell you, there's testimony after testimony after testimony in this congregation, and people who are hearing us today will testify, God is faithful to what He said He would do. And we've heard the old saying many times, first things first. How many of you know there's a lot of biblical truth in this little cliche? First things first. Now, what I'm going to tell you today, some preachers just give you the impression if you give your tithe, you give money into the offering plate, that's all you got to do to have a secure financial future. Let me tell you, you can give all day long, and if you go out like our country is doing and get too much debt, you're going to be in trouble one day. Hey, you know what? I've got a solution for the problems, for the debt problem. Here it is. It's real simple. If I were running for president, here's what I'd stand up and say. America, you cannot spend more than you take in. If you do, you are going to have a problem at some point in the future. Amen. Amen. It's that simple. But first things first, and I believe we're coming to a time you'll know who's blessed and who's not blessed. You'll know who's the head and not the tail. You'll know who's above and not beneath. You'll know who's the lender and not the borrower, because this has to be first in your life if you want to see God's windows open over your life. Now, I want you to consider this. There are more than 500 verses in the Bible concerning prayer. Thank God for prayer. And nearly 500 verses concerning faith. But more than 2,000 verses on the subject of money and possessions. Now think about this. Jesus talked about money in 16 of his 38 parables. How many of you realize that? Jesus himself talked about money a great deal in his parables. So clearly, from the Bible standpoint, we need to understand money. But not only do we need to understand money, we need to understand how to handle it. Folks, listen to me. The problem with most people is not the lack of money. It's the lack of handling it properly and mismanaging it. We're in the wealthiest nation in the world. We are 1/6 of the world's population, and we have owned up until now 50% of all the world's wealth. We do not have a cash flow problem in America, and you don't have a cash flow problem either. But I'll tell you this. There are some promises to those who do the first things that God says to do first. So how are we going to handle money? How are we going to manage it? Well, first of all, we got to realize something about money. Money is actually a test from God. How you and I handle money actually reveals volumes about my priorities, my loyalties, and my affections. Now I've gone from preaching to meddling. Folks, listen, seriously. If you want to find out where your loyalties are, if you really want to know where you're at, just go look at your checkbook. Or go look at your credit card statement. Go look at it. And that's where your loyalties are. Folks, I'm telling you this. Based upon experience, based upon the Word of God, based on the testimony of many, many people, if you put God first, not last, not somewhere in the middle, if you put Him first, He promises that He will open the windows of heaven over your life. And I don't know about you, but I want His windows open over my life. Do you want that? In fact, how we handle money dictates many of the blessings that you will or will not experience in your life. Now, folks, you've got to hear me again. We have been so blessed in this nation. We could just kind of go like a locomotive on just momentum itself. And just because we've been blessed. But let me tell you something, folks. Momentum, if it is not guarded, comes to an end at some point. I want God to bless me. I don't mind telling you that. I don't want to be in trouble financially. I don't want to go out and have to borrow a bunch of money. In fact, I'm not going to do it. Praise the Lord. If you hadn't been here in a while, God has reduced significantly the debt on this church. I think we ought to give Him a great big praise. Instead of owing millions, we only owe $56,000 now as of last week. Somebody's got that as pocket change. They could take care of that next week. Amen. Yeah, you let the economy get bad and people don't amen that as strongly. You see, the very principles that you and I must grasp, if you're going to understand how to open the windows of heaven, is the principle of first fruits. Would everybody say that, first fruits? It can also be called the principle of the firstborn or the tithe. Come on, let's say that word that a lot of people don't like anymore. Let's say the word tithe. Oh, say it like you mean it. It's not an unholy word. It's a word that describes a way that you and I can be absolutely blessed. Amen? You're not going to tune me out today, are you? Don't tune me out and seeking. I've heard all this stuff. No, you need to hear it again. Now, we find an important precedent established in the 13th chapter of Exodus. In this passage, God says, here it is, Exodus 13:2. He says, "Consecrate to me all the firstborn, whatever opens the womb among the children of Israel, both of male and beast." Listen to what He says. "It is mine." Now here, God plainly declares that the firstborn It belongs to Him. Now, the Jewish people understood that. In fact, you'll find God declaring that the firstborn is His 16 times in Scripture. Now, here's an example for you in Exodus 13, verses 12 through 13. It says this. It says, "You shall set apart to the Lord all that open the womb, that is, every firstborn that comes from an animal which you have. The males shall be the Lord's, but every firstborn of a donkey you shall redeem with a lamb. And if you will not redeem it, then you shall break its neck, and all the firstborn of man among your sons shall be redeemed." Now, I realize reading that, some of you may say, What is all that? I'm gonna show you how this applies to us today. But it is vital that you and I understand something about the principle of the firstborn. According to the Old Testament, the firstborn was either to be sacrificed or it had to be redeemed. Listen to me now. There was no third option. And we're trying to find third options for getting God's blessings in our life. We're trying to find other options for opening windows in our heaven. That's what America's doing right now. Oh, beloved, I know that I talk about this probably too much. Another stimulus package which indebts this nation will not do it. Come on. But I can tell you this, we could get God on our side by opening the windows of heaven, by as a nation doing exactly what God has said. I believe God has spoken to me one time about why this nation is decreasing in its blessing of God. I believe it is directly connected to what I'm telling you today. Listen, folks, I know we think we do really good in America on our giving of our tithes and our offering. Let me tell you, it is dropping like a rock in this country. I mean, it is spiraling down. Hey, everything's great as long as the economy's good, but people are drawing back now and saying, hey, I don't know about this. They're going into preservation mode. This is not a time to go into preservation mode. I believe if our president would stand up and say, I encourage every one of you, whether you go to church or not, tithe. Give the first of all your increase to God, and I'll open the windows of heaven over this nation. Folks, let me tell you something. Money is more of a test than we realize. How we handle it is more of a test than we realize. Don't look at me so strange today. Not only does the firstborn belong to God, but first fruits belong to Him as well. Exodus 23 and 19 says, "The first of the first fruits of your land you shall bring into the house of your God." Let me just be honest with you, folks. I wasn't real comfortable the first time God said, I want you to preach this to your congregation. I've preached some of this before, but I just wasn't real comfortable because I know how some people feel. All they say is, those preachers are just out to get your money. You listen to what Scripture says. There are principles in His Word that work today as they always have. And this principle that you and I must understand and not run from it and not resist is the principle of the first fruits. Now this verse goes even further and says, as I've stated, it is the first of your fruits that God wants. That means that your first fruits isn't acceptable if you give it last. Now let me tell you what I think too many people are doing, certainly not in this congregation, but around the world. They are getting out all their bills every week, and they're saying, let's pay this, let's pay that, let's pay this, let's pay that. And then I know the preacher said we need to, I know what he said, honey, but we need to get out and we need to, you know, get some cash together, write a check or something, and give that first stuff, you know. That's what he said. Let me tell you how it works, folks. You don't, and let me just say, there'll never be a good time to be a giver. There's never a good time to be a giver. There's never a good time to tithe until you understand this truth. There's a good time when you have a revelation of it, and I know many of you have it. But instead of saying, well, let's see if we've got money for the house of God after we take care of ourselves. Folks, you understand that is a self-preservation, that is a self-promoting salvation there? You know, we'll take care of ourselves, and then if we have something for the house of God. Nothing could be further than what Scripture says. All the way from Genesis, all the way to the book of Revelation. He says, you are to bring the first fruits, and you are to present it in, where? In the house of the Lord. Where? In the house of the Lord. God loves His house, folks. God loves His church. He loves His people, and He wants them blessed, but He also loves those who don't know Him, and He wants the church to be strong so we can get out there and do what God has told us to do. Can I hear an amen today? Amen. You see, it's not the tenth portion of your first fruits. It's the first portion of your first fruits. What's the first check you should write at the beginning of the week? It's not the electrical bill. It's not the house payment. What do you mean? I know all the stuff that people say. You mean, preacher, you'd rather somebody be kicked out of their house and not be able to make their payments versus giving to you in that church? That's exactly what I'm saying. Except that isn't what's going to happen. God is going to, man, I'm just messing my notes up. Let me tell you something I've learned after many, many, many years of being a preacher. Without fail, tithers always say, I am blessed. Always. Always. People who have made it a lifestyle, they know there is something of a blessing on their lives because God is blessing them. Always. And then you go and you talk to the non-tithers. And I'm not judging anyone. I really do not want you to hear that in this message. I am truly preaching a conviction to you, a biblical principle that I know works and that I firmly believe in. And I want God's people stable. Yes, I want God's house to be stable. I want God's house to be well taken care of. Absolutely. I'm a preacher. I'm a representative of God. I'm an ambassador of Christ. I want His house strong. But in making God's house strong, you are making your own house strong. What does He say? Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Jesus Himself said, you guys go around. He says, you're not like the unbelieving world. He said, you're special to me. He said, you know, I'm caring for you and I'm concerned for you. He said, the Gentiles or the unbelieving world goes around, I mean, always hustling a living. Worrying and fretting. He said, don't do that. But He said, seek first the kingdom of God. Here is a principle. You put God first with your monies, and God will take care of your monies. Amen? It just works. Because it is a law of God. It is a principle of God. Now notice that the Scripture does say that you are to bring the first fruits to the house of the Lord. And let me just say this, folks, because this is coming to my mind. Let me tell you, and when you do it, you need to understand something. It is an act of spiritual worship. See, we kind of lose sight of this. We just kind of think giving some money is, well, okay, I'm dropping some money in there so the preacher will get off my back. And yeah, I want to be able to, you know, have lights on when I come to church, and I want the kids to have everything they need. No, we've missed it. When you give of your finances, first off, God knows that that represents your life. That represents sweat and toil and hardship in some cases. He knows exactly what it represents. And when we give, folks, let me just tell you, we don't come and give and say, okay, let's drop some money in the bucket. It is an act of worship. Because let me tell you, it takes faith to be a tither. It takes extra faith to be somebody who does the rest of what Malachi says, gives of your tithes and your offerings. Folks, listen to me. According to this Bible, the tithe, when you become a Christian, I know you didn't know all this. The Bible says that you're to give of your tithes and your offerings. The tithe is what belongs to God. It is His. And the Bible indicates if I do anything else with it, it just makes me somebody I don't want to be. Can I tell you what the Bible says? It says you rob God. You're stealing from God. I don't believe all that stuff, preacher. I wish you would. I pray that you do. I pray that you put your faith in God's Word and bypass all this cheap talk about preachers and about churches and all these things, folks. Just put it all aside. Start believing God. Try. You know, most people who are non-tithers have got plenty of heartache stories to tell you financially. Try something. Try it. Hey, try it. What you've been doing ain't working. Try it. There's a person in my life that I love dearly. And I have taught them all my life these things. And I'm thinking, I just was talking to them the other day, and I hung up the phone and I thought, when is your misery and your financial woes going to be enough for you to start trying these things that you've seen God do in the people who's speaking to you right now? When are you going to do that? Any of you have anybody like that? Now, folks, listen. Come on, don't interpret what I'm saying today as I'm trying to beat anybody up. I realize this may be the first time some of you have ever heard this. I really am motivated by the Spirit of God to get you on stable ground. I can't tell you what's going to happen in the economies of the world. In fact, it appears to me, if you watch what's going on, all the economies of the world are being shaken. Somebody says, well, why? Can't we just pray it away? No, we can't pray it away because this world is getting set up for the Antichrist to come. People don't even believe in Antichrist, but an Antichrist is going to come one day, and then the world is going to be in such a mess, and there's going to be so many problems. The Antichrist is going to come on, and he's going to be a slick talker. He's going to say, I've got the answer, and I've got the plan. And people are going to be so desperate, the Bible says that they're going to fall for it. I want you on God's ground. I want you learning now, not then, what it means to have the windows, plural, open over your life. Now the Bible doesn't say that we are to give our tithe to television ministries. Although I believe strongly in supporting worthy media ministries. I'll just go ahead and say it so you'll know how I mean. I do support media ministries. But I don't support them with my tithe. I do it with offerings. And I don't say that to get some star here today. I'm doing that to try to motivate you and let you know what I believe. It doesn't say that we're to give the first portion of our first fruits to a missionary. Oh, I've heard that one forever. You know, well, we got to help those poor missionaries out on the field. Let me tell you something. If we help the missionaries and the church dies because it doesn't have enough money, good gracious, what have we done? As if giving to a missionary is more spiritual than giving to a congregation or a church that's trying to reach a community in a city. I've heard that stuff. And I'll just tell you, it comes from a religious spirit. And if you go and look at the record of people who do that, I promise you, they're not tithing. This all comes, listen to me, this comes from experience, folks. I do know what I'm talking about on these things. When he talks about giving of the first fruits, it doesn't say to give your first fruits wherever you want it. It says that we are to bring them into the house of the Lord your God. You can say amen today. I think I just need to slow down and preach a little more here. You see, folks, we must always give to the Lord's house first. Why? Because that's what God Almighty, the Creator of the universe, said that we're to do. You don't understand, preacher. See, you're trying to argue with me right now. Just forget me and talk to God. You just don't. See, that's what people do. They stop with the preacher. They don't go to the Word and they don't go to God. They stop with the preacher. They just stop right there. Some of you are arguing with me right now. Some of you are hearing this on the internet. You just don't understand. You just don't understand what? Don't understand that you don't understand Scripture? What don't I understand? Well, you just don't understand the hardship. How do you know what hardships I've had? How do you know what I've been through and God has miraculously seen me through? How do you know? But that's beside the point. Don't argue with me. Come on, young people, are you with me today? Whoa, that was strong. Young people, if you knew what I knew, you'd start tithing right now. I work down at McDonald's 2 hours a week, and you're telling me to tithe? I am telling you to tithe, because if you'll start now, you may own McDonald's one day. Or a chain of McDonald's. We must always give to the Lord's house. Listen to Proverbs chapter 3, verses 9 through 10. Listen to what he says. He says, honor the Lord with your possessions. Preacher, now watch it. All this stuff This, my cars are mine. I bought and I paid for them with my money. Watch out now. Instead of telling the preacher to watch out, I'm telling you to watch out. Honor the Lord with your possessions. Honor the Lord with your homes. Honor the Lord. Let me tell you, if you start learning to honor God with your home by being grateful for what you have, God just might give you something else. But this is not about giving to get. This is about honoring God and bringing glory to Him. I may not get all the things that I want, but I am to honor God with my possessions. Listen to this. It continues, and with the first fruits of all your increase. Your increase. If you say, I hadn't seen an increase in a year, 2 years, 3 years. Yeah, you have. If you've received any monies at all, you've received some increase. He says, honor the Lord with all your with your possessions and the first fruits of your increase. Amen. See, this is the point in the sermon where you either say, all right, Lord, I open up my heart. I'm going to listen to the preacher who I believe is speaking for you today. And I'm going to open my heart up. And Lord, if this is true, which it is, you tell me what to do and I'll do it. See, don't argue with God and say, Lord, I can't afford it. I hear that. You got to know, as a preacher, you hear that a lot. I can't afford it. I'm telling you in love, you can't afford not to. You're trying to work this out in your natural. You're trying to do the math and say, you don't understand. At the end, when I get through the month, I've got $2 left. Or in fact, I'm usually $200 in the hole. You just don't understand. That's exactly the point I'm making. Let's try something else. Man, there's nothing more peaceful than knowing God's got His hand on your finances and at the windows of heaven are open over you. There's nothing more peaceful. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase. Here's the promise in verse 10. The promise is this: so your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. Preacher, I'm not a farmer. What are you talking about here? They were an agricultural society. There may be some of you who are farmers here, and this may very well apply to you. This is a principle of your storehouses. Folks, everybody, listen. I want you to hear me today. If you don't have a savings account, you need a savings account. There again, we can't do it. Yeah, you can. Pastor, have you watched the stock market lately? It's like a roller coaster. Yeah, you can. I'm telling you, God is speaking to you today and challenging every one of us. And I know some of you are going, oh, God, I wish He would preach on something else. Got to preach on what God gives me. You need a savings account that God can fill up. You're going to have problems in life, folks. You need a savings account when the tire blows out, when the car messes up, and the air conditioner goes out, especially this time of year in Texas. You need some money to fix the old air conditioner. Instead of saying, doggone it, the devil is always after us. He stole my money. I can't pay my light bill. I can't pay my car payments. No, no. You need to say, God is my provider. And His windows are open over my life. We're to honor God with these things. As this passage suggests, tithing to the Lord's house involves honoring the Lord with our possessions and with the first fruits of all our increase. All of it. I'll tell you another area where people struggle. Where suddenly they come across a larger sum of money than they're accustomed to handling. And they look at that and say, you mean the tithe would be that much? Yeah. Preacher's down here on his knees. God, we need some work done here. We need some work done there. God, provide it. And you're over there saying, dear God, we could buy a new motorcycle with this. We could make some boat payments. We could take a vacation. I'll tell you why that's a problem a little later on. Because it just doesn't work. Some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. You got an inheritance, and it was a large sum of money, or you got some kind of payment or something. You thought, I'm bypassing this. No, I don't feel led. Oh, you made a bad mistake if you do that. You see, folks, no matter how it comes, the Word makes it clear that we are to honor the Lord with the first fruits of all our increase. Folks, let me just tell you something. It's not just a money window that I'm talking about in heaven. There are other windows that can... I believe there are windows of health that can open. I believe there are windows of blessing over our children, even if some of them don't want it. When we do what God says, there are windows that open. I think there's so many windows in heaven that God wants to pull open that we don't even think about. We just think when somebody preaches this, he's just talking about money, and there's one window up there, a money window. Oh, God's got a lot of... How about revival? God's got a window of revival waiting for people who obey Him. You wonder why some people are excited about God, why some are just, they're just flat about God. I tell you, it can have to do with those windows. Sure, we all have flat times, but I'm telling you, folks, there are multiple windows. What about opportunity windows? What about promotion windows? What about all these other things that we desire and need in life? God has a window for it. So He told us, open the windows of heaven over your life. Now, there's a story in the Bible that really brings this principle home. Now, the Lord, when the Israelites, when they were blessed of Him and taken out of Egypt, and they were making their journey into the new land, God spoke to them. He said, I'm going to give you this new land. But He said this. He said, the first city, you listen to me today, the first city when you go in to conquer the new land belongs to Me. You find it even when God's delivering people out of bondage and taking them into a new land. God is saying, the first city belongs to Me. How many of you know what the first city was? It was Jericho. And God said, that city belongs to Me. Everything in it is Mine. You tithe that to Me. You give that to Me. And then the rest of the cities are yours. What about Adam and Eve? God in the garden. This is even in the Garden of Eden. I'm telling you, this is what messed everything up and brought a curse on Adam and Eve and on the children of Israel. God said to Adam and Eve, there's one tree over there. How many were in there? Thousands of trees? I don't know. Were there lemon trees, orange trees, fig trees, banana trees, pecan trees, almond trees? I don't know. But God said, there's one there. And it represents the tithe. It represents the first fruit. Don't go and eat from that fruit. And what did Adam and Eve do after a period of time? They decided they wanted to go to that one tree. Folks, that's what we do when we say, I want God to take me to heaven. I want His salvation, but I'm not giving Him any of my money. I'm not giving Him any of my time because I am in self-preservation mode and I don't have time. But I'm telling you, and what happens? Folks, listen, I'll read it to you a little later. The Bible says because we do this, we are cursed with a curse. You mean God, instead of blessing me, curses me? Is that what you're saying, preacher? No, God doesn't do the cursing. You cursed yourself. We curse ourselves. In other words, what God is saying when you're cursed with a curse, and I'm telling you, this is going to be more real to us in the future than it's ever been in this country. What He's saying, all right, if you don't want Me in your life, America, if you don't want Me in your schools, here, I have no choice. I will not push My will off on you. If you don't want to tithe, if you don't want to give, you don't want to do these things, I will not. God is a gentleman, and He will not force Himself on anybody. Then He says, okay, in that area of your life, I've got to leave you to your own. So, man, good luck. The best your abilities can produce, the best your intellect can produce, the best that your health can produce, then that's the curse. That is the curse. And people don't understand this. They don't understand. It's not God that has a magical wand and says, I'm so mad at you today because you won't give money to that preacher in that church. I'm going to inflict you now. People really do think this when they think about I'm really mad at you. I'll give you some cancer. That's in the back of people's minds. That's not what the curse is. The curse is this. You're a human being, and somewhere along the way, you're going to need God's help. And you bring a curse on yourself because you don't listen to God. You don't do what God says. There is something that is freeing, and I'm going to preach about it being free, and I'm sure the house will be filled to overflowing about breaking the spirit of mammon in your life. We're more controlled by money and mammon, which is money, than we ever realize. here in Jericho. Achan decided, well, you know, what does it hurt? You know, it's been tough over in Egypt. It was hard over in Egypt. And, you know, they beat us. I deserve some compensation. I deserve some compensation. I deserve some enjoyment in life. I mean, it's been tough lately. Don't you know, man? And so what did Achan do? Achan took part of the goods that were there. And let me tell you, it caused problems for everybody. Go read the story. God said that city is mine. He didn't say, wait until you get in there and you've conquered 10 cities and you've got plenty of stuff and then give me the bounty from that one city. He said, you give me the first city. Folks, I'm telling you, it is an act of faith. It is a way that we say, God, I am trusting you with every area of my life. I'm trusting you with my money. I'm trusting you with my health. I'm trusting you with my children. I'm trusting you with my education. I'm trusting you with everything. That's what you're saying. And so, what are we to do? We're to offer God our first fruits. We're to offer it to Him. I've heard it before. I don't hear it now, but years ago when I was a little more inexperienced and didn't know quite how to answer some of these comments or questions that would come my way regarding giving and other things, you know, what some people who are really good at, they'll say, preacher, all you're doing is preaching the law. You're preaching. Now, come on, buckle your seatbelt here for just a moment. You're just preaching the Old Testament law. It's all you're doing. As if it to say that because God said adultery was wrong in the Old Testament under grace, it's okay. Now, you think on that one a little while. Oh, I got to say that again. Or just because in the Old Testament God says, thou shalt not steal under grace, then that means it's okay to steal. Do you hear the silliness in that? This is not the law. This is a principle of God that started in the book of Genesis and goes all the way through the book of Revelation. I mean, in Revelation, they're still offering God worship. They're offering God the first fruits of their praise and everything they've got. Folks, this is a principle that works. Here's a very interesting thing. Bible says in that same chapter in Malachi, He says, I am the God who changes not. I change not. We somehow think that after God did all He did in the Old Testament, just everything was different in the New Testament. One other little story that has big impact is found in Genesis chapter 4, verses 3 through 5. Now stay with me just a little bit longer. And if this is a challenging message to you, I tell you, you need to stop praying about your money. You need to do the first thing that God has told you to do. It says this, and in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. Abel also brought of the first fruit of his flock of their fat. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering, but He did not respect Cain and his offering. And Cain, listen to this, was very angry and his countenance fell. Why did God respect Abel's gift, but not Cain's offering? Listen. The Word makes it very clear that Abel brought the firstborn. But it doesn't say that Cain brought the first fruits of his crop. Here's what it says. It says, in the process of time, he brought his offering. In other words, he didn't take God seriously. And he said, well, when I get around to it, I'll give God what He said, give. But I want to make sure that I've got plenty stored up for me first. You know, over here, I may have problems. In the process of time, people, listen to me. Don't be so casual about worshiping God with your giving. I know to some of you, this is you're probably a little depressed right now. Don't be depressed You're doing the math in your head. He is, oh, come on, how can I say this in another way that you'll believe? God is a multiplier. How many times would people sit down and they would have no food and Jesus said, well, give me what little you have, and Jesus would bless it. He would bless it. It's like coming to God and saying, God, I'm giving you what I've got. It ain't much, but I'm giving it to you. And Jesus says, I'm going to bless it. And then what does he do? He gives it to the disciples. And the disciples, how many times do we hear of the people being fed, the multitudes being fed, and the disciples breaking the bread? I'm breaking the bread of life with you today, and I'm giving it out to you. And I hope and pray that you are receiving, and I believe some of you are. He is a multiplier. You'll never logically get this all worked out. It just mathematically, it doesn't work. He's not of this world, folks. This is just the opposite of what you're going to hear on the national media today. This is exactly opposite. Well, you better protect yourself. You better protect your retirement funds. Folks, let me tell you, if God doesn't protect your retirement fund, you sure can't. God said it is useless for us to try to build a city or build anything without God's help. We just need to say, Father, this has been useless what I've been doing. It has been futile. Beloved, these are not my words. They're not my words. They're the words of Jesus. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all these things, the clothing, the houses, the cars, the land, everything you need, and I emphasize need, will be added unto you. God will take care of His children. Amen. My challenge to us today is that we do what God says. Try it. Test me now in this and see if I will not pour out a blessing on you so great that there won't be room to contain it. Now, I'll take a little more of that. See, our failure in America is to realize how blessed we already are. We've been living so blessed so long as a nation. We've kind of got an entitlement attitude. I deserve all these things. No. You get to have them. But I can tell you, if we don't hear God and we don't start doing what God says, we're not going to have these blessings that we've had on this nation. I say everybody in this nation needs to start tithing. Even if you're a non-Christian, you need to start tithing. Get God on your side. Get God on your side. Get God in your business. Get God in your children's life by tithing. How many of you are ready to see the windows of heaven opened up? Let me see your hand this morning. I'm ready for it. Let's stand to our feet, and I am going to pray for you, folks. See, the prayer that I'm going to pray is not, Lord, give me more money. But, Lord, help me do with what I have what you said. Folks, you realize God can reduce debt. Let me just tell you, this monies that came in to reduce our building fund debt here came on the worst week in the markets. I tell you, God is so good. I mean, it was going up and down, and everybody thought the end of the world was just around the corner the next day. And God comes in and says, here, I'm going to give my tithe here. Somebody was really blessed and said, here, I'm going to give my tithe. And it was a very significant sum of money. Said, I'm going to give it. And you do what you want with it. Since I'm a firm believer in getting out of debt, we decided to go down and knock a good chunk off the debt of this church. Somebody's got that other money. I'll receive it gladly. I'm going to pray for us to have the courage to obey this word of admonition from God. Folks, listen to me. God's not going to be mad at you if you decide not to tithe. That's not it. But you have tied His hands. You have tied His hands. He'll still bless you. He'll still do everything He can in your life. But in one sense, you are tying His hands. Some of you just need courage. And you don't need to pray about it. You've prayed about all your problems. God heard you 10,000 prayers ago. Here's your answer today. Give tithes and offerings to the Lord. Somebody says, and I'm closing now. I've talked enough today. What's a tithe? 10% right off the top. 10%. It's not much until you write that check. But I'll tell you what, you make it a lifestyle, and then the next week when you're tempted and say, ooh, we can't do this. Come on, I got to say one other thing, folks. God is not my waiter or waitress. He doesn't want a tip from me. He wants a tithe. Let's pray. I'm through. Lord, in Jesus' name, I pray that you'll give each and every one of us obedient hearts. I know, Lord, in the natural, this is a real struggle for some, and some may not even be ready to believe this, but I pray you give us all courage, Lord. Courage to obey you. Lord, I pray for our young folks, Lord, that even now when their income is very little, some of them are even going to college and other things, I pray whatever their increase is, that they would learn to tithe now and realize that you have a way of blessing the 90% when we give that 10%. And so, Lord, give us courage now. Lord, in these times that we live in, we're looking to you. Come on, how many of you by faith are looking to God for a blessing and the windows of heaven being open? I hope all of you are, and I pray that you are. Because God is the one who is going to take care of us. Amen. Let me hear a great big amen from those of you who believe God blesses when you tithe. Come on, one more time. Let's do it.